Now let's welcome my first guest, Rona Renner, leading authority in parenting and author of Is That Me Yelling? Rona, thanks for joining me this morning.
Oh, I'm so happy to meet you, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning. And, you know, I want to tell folks, I think most people realize that I have guests from all over the country join me, and I'm so glad that I do. And a lot of times it is a sacrifice to your sleep. You had to get up pretty early to join me on the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Berkeley, California.
California. So what time is it there in Berkeley?
It's only 5 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I do.
I've got my tea here, and I don't have any young children around who I'll wake up, so I'm good.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just want to say thank you. I so appreciate your getting up early, and I want to make sure our listeners know that, you know, there is a sacrifice. People have to get up quite early to get on the show when they're calling from other areas of the country. So thank
you,
Linda, for doing that.
Well, Linda, you know, I think I told you I did radio for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I had a parenting radio show for 10 years in the Bay Area, and I would do anything for that show, and I really appreciated when the guests would get up as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Then you understand where we're coming from here. Well, thank you. You know, I read your book, and I have to say, you mention in your book a high percentage of parents yell, and you note that yelling has become the new spanking. And I have to say, I so identified with that because I think our first reaction when our children, you know, do something we don't want them to do, or there's so much going on, first off, you're under so much stress and you're multitasking, is to yell. So why do parents yell, and how do we stop it?
Yeah, it is often a first reaction. And I think in part because when we're under stress, there's this sort of fight and flight. It's the more primitive brain,
mm-hmm.
and we're not in our best thinking, and all of a sudden we react, and we can talk more about triggers, and we just go there. It's easy to happen. Sometimes it's because we've been raised by yellers. Other times it's our stress. Sometimes it's because parents don't know what else to do,
mm-hmm.
and especially if you have a particularly spirited child, you know, they get to you real quickly. I think parents are often sleep deprived.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we don't necessarily meet our own needs as parents, again, so our reserve tank is low. There's lots of reasons that we yell. And I think the good news that I found in doing this work and writing the book is that when parents decide they want to yell less, and I'm not talking about perfection and saying never
mm-hmm,
yell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, you know, when you decide you want to yell less, you can really do it. It's not so challenging that it's impossible. It just really takes an intention and then some tools.
And I think your book gives us all that. And I have to say, you know, when I was reading it, some things came to mind. I remember when my youngest daughter, she was probably maybe 3 or 4, and I have an older daughter, a daughter that was 4 years older than her, so 8 and 4. And I was rushing around the house trying to get ready, trying to get out. Maybe the school bus was coming, whatever. There was a lot going on, and I felt really stressed. And I remember my youngest had done something, maybe asked something. I don't know, but for whatever reason, I snapped.
Right, it doesn't even matter. Right?
It doesn't even matter. I just snapped at her. And I just remember, and I'll always remember this reaction. She just kind of stiffened her body. You know, like I could just see that reaction. It was almost like I punched her. I could just yeah. see that reaction. It was, and I still to this day remember that, thinking, how could I yell at this small little child? Why couldn't I have just slowed down, you know, just taken a breath, just acted a little differently? I will never forget that reaction. And that leads me into my next question. Is yelling ever effective? I mean,
right. And I think, you know, what you say is so true. Not only will you never forget that, but she probably won't either.
Mm.
Because what happens for kids is that take me for example, so many good things we do for our kids. You know, we take them places, we send them to China, we feed them, we, you know, care for them, we love them, we read them stories, you know, all these wonderful things that we do as part of our job. And then when we lose it, and we get that face or that look, or
mm-hmm.
we yell, and for some parents they hit, you know, it's like it stands out. And you could think about it in terms of your own relationship. If you have a partner, you know, the time they yelled at you
or said
something nasty.
Right.
You know, it doesn't go away right away.
Mm-mm.
So I think it's really important to realize not to beat yourself up about it. You know, we have to be compassionate towards ourselves. We make mistakes. We're imperfect. I've raised 4 kids, and, you know, I could think of all the mistakes I've made. But that, in fact, yelling, you know, really does have a negative consequence. It can be effective in the moment, especially if your child's about to run out in the street. Of course you want to yell. You want to yell as loud as you can to get them to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that what are we trying to do? We're trying to teach. And just like I started my book with, you know, here's my daughter and my son fighting, and I'm yelling, Karina, stop yelling. And, you know, I'm modeling to her that the way you get something done is to yell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just wanted to tell you about a study that was done last year. It came out, and this was at the University of Pittsburgh. And they followed almost 1,000 middle school kids, 13 and 14-year-olds, and their parents for a couple of years. And they found that depression or poor behavior increased in the children who were exposed to harsh verbal discipline.
Mm.
You know, so that, in fact, there was more aggression or depression or school problems. It didn't remedy the issue, and sometimes it actually made it worse. So that's why I wrote this book, is that, you know, in the long run, it's not really what we need to be doing. And although we, of course, have to use discipline and we have to teach our children, that's our job.
Right, exactly. But I think this yelling thing, I think a lot of parents, I think, yell, as your book indicates, too. And I think also I think parents think, well, I'm not hitting them. But I think you have to really realize that yelling, like you said, it has an impact, an awful impact. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is my kids now are older. They're 16 and 21. And a couple of years ago, I realized that my kids were yelling at each other.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? They learned this from mom. My husband's not a yeller. It's me. That's how I deal with stress. I yell. So the last 2 years, I've really taken it back and curtailed it a lot. And I've noticed it's more harmonious in my house, you know, because I am modeling that, and I'm hoping it's not too late to change.
No.
You know, something.
And it's never, I think, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because it's never too late. I mean, yes, we have, you know, sometimes we do traumatize our kids, and life brings traumas. We say the wrong things. We hurt their feelings. We do things. That happens. But, you know, I got a letter from a woman who had an 8-year-old, and she said when she read my book, she realized there was hope. That even if that's happened, you can repair it.
Right.
You can talk with your kids and say, you know, I'm really going to work on this because I don't want to be hurtful to you. And I encourage parents to think of the consequences of the yelling on their kids, like the siblings are yelling at each other more. So that helps you make that decision, mm-hmm. just like you did, to yell less. You have to really be willing to take a look at what's true and not make yourself feel awful about it.
You're right.
But move on from there.
And it's not easy. It is not easy to stop a behavior that's become a habit.
That's right.
So, and I know one of the things I liked about your book is that you really, you take a lot of tools to assess the situation, assess how it's affecting your child, assess triggers, you know, and let's talk about that a little bit. You talk about triggers that kind of set off your yelling. So how do you assess that, and how do you make sure that those triggers, you know, don't continue to do the same, you know, yelling as a result?
Right. The triggers will keep happening. It's how we respond to them. And there's something I have called a yelling tracker, and it helps parents look at, you know, what time of day is this happening? You know, is it every day around 4 or 5 o'clock that I yell? And, you know, what's going on? Well, the kids are starting to argue. I'm trying to make dinner. And, you know, what do I do? I yell at them, and I start losing it, and, you know, and what's my response to what they're doing, and then what's their response? And then I have a whole chapter on temperament to really look at individual differences in children. You know, maybe, again, this this high energy child really needs some direction around 4 o'clock, or maybe he needs ways to soothe because he's exhausted or overstimulated. So the yelling tracker helps you be more of the expert on your own child. And that's the beginning, is that, you know, you're really like a scientist there trying to figure out what's going on here and what's happening. And then you can think about, what am I going to do about it? And the thing to track also is not just the behavior of the child, but the escalating thoughts in your head. Mm-hmm. Things like, why can't they ever behave? I do so much for them. Or, you know, I told them 5 times. You know, those escalating thoughts are like adding the fuel to the fire. So I really try and bring in the cognitive behavioral theory approach to changing behavior, is really being able to notice and be mindful about what's going on with yourself.
And let's talk about that a little bit, because you did talk about the cognitive behavioral approach. So let's talk about that. How does that work, and how does that help us stop yelling?
Well, again, the awareness is to say to yourself, you know, what just happened? Okay, you know, my kids didn't put their dishes away as they were supposed to. That's the trigger thought. Then I notice my feelings, and my feelings are frustration, mm-hmm. and disappointment. And then I notice my thoughts. My thoughts are, again, why do I have to do everything? Why can't they do something? And then it's accepting that. Okay, here are my thoughts. Here are my feelings. This is what's going on with me. And then once you can accept that, instead of going with it, you're able sometimes to even reframe it and say, oh, right, she's a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of normal. I've
right.
got to go back and have a talk with her. You know, you bring yourself down.
Right. No, and I,
you know, you
that's
calm
right.
yourself down a little bit first. And it's that awareness of what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, allows you then to have a different response.
I like that. And you even suggest taking like a physical inventory before you yell. You know, your heart starts to race, your hands get sweaty.
Right.
So you notice those things and you know what's going to happen next.
That's right.
And I have to say, one of the things that I realized recently is there was a situation at home when I typically would have yelled, but instead I you know, realized what I was about to do and stopped it. And I saw how it unraveled handling it differently. And I thought in my head of what would have happened if I would have yelled, because typically when you yell, it just escalates and makes the situation worse and things just unravel. And I thought,
right. Or shut down.
It shut down, right. And I was so glad that I stepped back and did exactly what you said. Just, you know, realized that this was a trigger. I was, you know, I could see my physical inventory. I knew what was about to happen. And instead of me yelling, I handled it differently and the outcome was different. So
that's right. And as, especially with teenagers, you want to be able to stay connected.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you yell, the more disconnected you will be. And then the less you'll know about what's going on. And then the more anxious you'll get. Right?
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about you brought it up earlier, the fight or flight response. Let's talk about that a little bit. What do you mean by that? And how can we look at that with this?
Yeah, so, you know, say your kids are arguing with each other and, you know, you're in distress and all of a sudden you're getting anxious, you feel your pulse going faster, your blood pressure's going up, and of course that's not good for you. That's another reason not to yell, is for your own health. And you're producing, you know, like adrenaline, epinephrine, cortisol, you know, all these stress hormones. And they have a physiological effect on you. They keep that pulse going, that blood pressure up. And it again, triggers that part of our brain that's the more primitive part of the brain that says either I've got to attack or run away,
mm-hmm, right.
or freeze. You
right,
know?
Right.
And as soon as we're on the attack or we're running away, we're not in the present moment, and then we're not helping our children learn what they need to learn to live a life. You know, that's a life here in the moment with whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And also learn the lessons that they need to learn. So if there was, you know, hey, kids, this is enough. You have to stop arguing over who's watching the TV. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to figure this out, the two of you. And if you can't figure out what show you want to watch, the TV goes off for the rest of the day until tomorrow, because you've got to come to some agreement. Mm-hmm. You know, so then you're helping them problem solve. So you're really teaching them skills, and that, and then you could notice after 5 or 6 seconds, if you take slow breaths, and we'll get to the, I hope we'll get to the ABCDEs if not yelling, but the first step is really about taking those slow breaths. You're actually changing the hormones and the cortisol and all of the things that are going on physiologically for you, and you're calming down. So it's a wonderful system when we need it to be on alert, but a lot of the times we actually don't need that.
And then let's jump right into the ABCs of not
sure.
not yelling, because you know you're really unlearning to yell
right.
is what you're doing.
Right.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and you're training yourself. It's really about training. And mindfulness is much more popular now than it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And really the idea of mindfulness is that you're in the present moment, you know, breathing, noticing your body, and you're really not judging yourself. You're not, that those thoughts in your head aren't going that you're a bad parent or why isn't your spouse around to help or your partner. Mindfulness is just being present without judgment and noticing what is. And so this ABCDEs of yelling is, first, ask yourself, what am I feeling? A, ask. What are my escalating thoughts? Oh, God, why aren't they ever listening to me? And can I accept my feelings? And sometimes I'm able to reframe those thoughts, just like I just mentioned. So mm-hmm. that's asking yourself. B is breathe. Just like, you know, sometimes our grandmother used to say, you know, count to 10, take some breaths. It's just beautiful to do. And I use it in all circumstances, not just, you know, in raising children. When you're online and you're frustrated and you're not, you know, it's going too slow, stand there and take some breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Look around, notice yourself, feel your body. And, you know, if your child's not in any immediate danger, you can take your time before you respond.
Mm-hmm.
Calm yourself. That's the C. Calm yourself down. Focus on your breathing. Wait until you've calmed down before you discipline and communicate with your child. It's going to be much more effective. And then the D is decide what your child needs. Think about their age, their temperament. You know, if they're really shy, maybe that's what's going on. They're feeling withdrawn. Do you have realistic expectations at this moment? And then the E that I added, because it's so important, is to empathize. Put yourself in your child's shoes. Oh, they're not getting ready for school because they're afraid about that test that's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what's going on. They just need some compassion here and some help. So what I've heard from parents who have used this model is they can go back and say to themselves, A, B, C, D, E, and remember those steps very quickly in order to do what you said you did, which was to step back and not just react, but figure out your response.
Mm-hmm. And that is not an easy thing to do, you know, but you have
That's
to.
That's right.
It's not easy because you get caught up in the moment. And again, it's a habit. You're yelling as a response is a habit, and you're trying to break it. Just like you mentioned that in the book, smoking is a habit.
Right.
And it's not easy
That's
to
right.
break.
And exactly. It's like any habit. It does take a while. You have to be kind to yourself, though, and patient, because if you get mad at yourself, like, oh, God, I lost it. Why didn't I, you know, whatever, you start, you know, saying those things to yourself, what's going to happen is you're just going to shut down
mm-hmm.
and not do it. And I suggest at night going to the yelling tracker and try and figure out, how did I lose it? Where was I? And then what can I do to prevent some of the problems? I mean, this one woman who was in a class told me she yelled every morning at her kids not finding their shoes and putting their shoes on until she figured out to put the shoes by the front door. You know, and it was like such a simple
remedy.
Right. But she hadn't had sort of the moment, the time to think it through.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can take 5 minutes at night and use the yelling tracker, I also have it on my website at nurserona.com, you know, so people can just use these tools to support them and talk to a friend or a partner and say, this is what I'm trying to do, and I would love some support.
Let's just ask, can most parents stop yelling if it's become a habit?
Right, and I always say, let's not go to stop. You know, let's not say all or nothing. I believe in the fact that we're, you know, human and we have our moments. And I think the goal is to yell less. And then eventually you might find that it becomes easier and easier just not to do that at all unless there's a dangerous situation. So, yes, of course, I've worked with many parents now, and I could think of a recent person, and it's a father, and one of the things that I've noticed is that he's become aware of the fact that when he yells, he's not at his best.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in fact, he sees that the yelling really just makes his child more afraid,
mm-hmm.
and a little more anxious. And then it has other consequences, which is some sleep problems and also some other acting out behaviors. And so what he's had to do is grapple with the fact that he was raised by a yeller,
mm-hmm.
and know that he actually really wants to do something different, even though it's the default setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that within, you know, reading the book, I wrote it so that it could be a tool that the parents use. You know, I do meet with couples and parents, and I do Skype, and I talk to people, and I help them look specifically at what the triggers are and what might be going on for either the child or the parent. But the book is enough for most people to say, okay, I can do this because mm-hmm. I want to.
Right.
And I think that's the key. For parents who are listening who say, you know, there's nothing wrong with yelling. I'm Italian. I'm, you know, it's been a tradition in my family. My kids can toughen up and it's fine. You know, they won't read the book. And everyone gets to choose how they are as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to tell someone they're right or wrong or a bad parent. But I do know I've had enough experience to see the consequences of when children are raised with adverse conditions and regular yelling. And also, it depends on what you're saying, Linda, too. You know, there's one thing about saying, gosh, kids, cut it out. And then there's another thing when you're saying, you're such a brat. Why can't you be like your sister?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had enough. You're driving me crazy. You know, the words matter also.
Those are very painful words. You're right. And let's talk about that. Can you repair the past?
Yes. I mean, you can't change the past. But kids are very forgiving. They really are, much more so than adults. And when they see a true intention from a parent that change is possible, that they want to make change, kids are terrific. And I have a section on repair so that you could really say, take responsibility, let a child know what you did and what you're going to do differently. And then don't add at the end, but if you just behave, I wouldn't have to yell at you.
Right, it's not
you
their
really
fault.
You really want to take responsibility for what you're doing, and it's never too late to have a relationship be different in the moment. You have to build trust. And, you know, in the book, I do talk about ways to discipline instead. You know, it's not a book that covers every aspect of positive discipline or respectful discipline, but I do give the tools so that a parent can try different things. You know, simple things like having a family meeting
mm-hmm.
That's done in a way that kids aren't moaning every time you say, we're going to have a family meeting. And just be able to say, you know, we have a problem. We're not getting out of the house on time. We all need to take responsibility for this. Let's come up with some ideas of how we're going to change things. Using a timer. It's perfect with little kids, especially like 3- and 4-year-olds. Somehow when you set the timer and you say you have 5 more minutes to play and then we're going to need to leave, you're being proactive, and somehow the timer is neutral. It's not the same as mommy nagging.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some really simple things that communicate, you know, what you're intending. And absolutely, yelling is, it's very possible to get, you know, so much better at communicating without yelling. And then I have something that I call the 4 C's of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you have time for that.
Absolutely, go for it.
Sure. It's, you know, simple ones: communication, choices, consequences, and connection. And, you know, there's a lot of books on discipline, a lot of good books on discipline. But what I try and point to are the key pieces. You know, when you communicate to a teenager and you say, now, don't be home late, you're leaving yourself open for interpretation.
Right, exactly.
Right? You want to be able to say, be home by 11, and, mm-hmm. and here's what I need you to do to make sure that that happens. You're giving a young kid choices. You're saying, do you want to take your bath now or after dinner? You're not saying, do you want to take a bath or not? You're clear the bath is going to happen, but there's some choice about when it's going to happen because the child is told all the time what to do and when to do it. But if you give too many choices, you're watering down some of your authority also. Mm-hmm.
But,
right?
you know, I have to step in here, and that so works, that choices. I just recently, with my teenage daughter, had something come up. She had to take some medicine, medication she hates to take, and usually it becomes a battle. And I decided to approach it differently, and I said, okay, do you want to take that now or a little later? You know, yeah. It's just the vitamins that she needed to take, you know, and she decided to take it later. And instead of the battle, you have to take it now, blah, 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 she just took it later. And it was like,
isn't it
wow.
Something, it's like saying, okay, I'm treating you like another human being here.
Right.
And some kids, temperament-wise, are slow to adapt. They have that trait, adaptability trait, that's a little slow. And so what happens is they need a few minutes or a little time to sort of deal with something.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it the moment you ask.
Right.
And so being, you know, again, being proactive, giving them a chance to make that transition will reduce power struggles. And that's the whole idea. We want to reduce those struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And we want more harmony at home. And then consequences. You know, parents, if there's more than one parent at home, you really need to talk about it and see if you can be on the same page. Where you're really thinking about, if this happens, what are we going to do? This couple told me that that was key to not yelling, because when a child misbehaved, they had different approaches,
mm-hmm.
and it got confusing.
Right.
It got really confusing. And so try your best to work it out with your partner and see if you could be on the same page. And the consequences don't have to be harsh. You know, I think there's an era where people were raised to think that the more you took away, the harder the punishment, the more a child will learn. But what happens is they become angry,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes get revenge even, you know, and they lose track of what you were trying to teach because they're so mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is connection of the four C's. One of the key ways to reduce discipline and behavior problems, this is like key, is to have that one-on-one special time with your child. To really be curious about your child's thoughts and feelings, to have fun together, to let them show you how to do things, let them teach you how to do something on the computer or go take a hike. Don't hold a grudge and be connected with your child. That will reduce the behavior problems that you're seeing.
And I think it also it lends itself to what you're talking about repeatedly, is to know the temperament of your child. It really gets you to understand them. And
yes.
Embrace that. You know, you first off, you see what the wonderful child they are when you take them independently like that. And second,
yes.
you do start to understand their temperament and what makes them tick and what excites them, what motivates them, what works, you know.
Exactly. And children want to be cooperative, basically. You know, sometimes they don't. And of course, you know, some kids are a little more feisty than others. But basically, they love their parents so much. And they really want things to go well. And so, you know, we have to keep that in mind in this connection. So when you say, you know, I just want some special time with you today. I have about an hour. What would you like to do? It just makes them so happy. It's just like if you think about a boss you have or a teacher you have, and they, you know, give you positive feedback or give you something that makes you feel like you're doing a good job, how good it feels. And then you want to do more.
Absolutely. It is so impactful. You're right. Well, we just have a couple more minutes, so I want to just wrap it up with is there any, you know, last minute advice for people that are yelling? Just hope, I guess, that they can change. And I've read the book. I think it's wonderful. I love the fact that you talk about, you give stories, you tell for instance, you know, this person, I love the one story you tell when you're talking about an abundance of non-yelling approaches. There's a parent that's in the store and their child is having a conniption fit. They're on the floor yelling and kicking, having a tantrum. And normally that would just send her skyrocketing. But instead she uses humor. She kind of gets down and does the same thing. The kid looks at her and thinks she's crazy.
Mom,
they just,
what are you doing?
Right.
You're on the floor banging.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, that's the thing. Humor is so key. And not doing the same thing you always do. Trying to be present in the moment. And, you know, my last thing I want to say is that at the end I talk about world peace begins at home. You know, we live in a world that's pretty crazy right now, and there's so much violence and so much war and fighting and power struggles. And I feel like what we can do is each family, each person, try and figure out how to resolve conflicts in a peaceful way at home. And every day think about, you know, what can I offer that's loving and comforting? What will I learn from my children? What will they learn from me? And what brings meaning to my life? You have to look at yourself and make sure that you're doing things that keep you able to be in the present moment and take good care of yourself.
Absolutely. And let's just tell folks where they can get this book. Again, it's the name of the book is That Me Yelling? And it's a parent's guide to getting your kids to cooperate without losing your cool. So where can they find this?
So, you know, local bookstores, where I am, I know have it, and I hope where you are. You could ask your bookstore to order it. You can get it online at Amazon or other outlets as well. And at my website is Nurse Rona, N-U-R-S-E-R-O-N-A, nurserona.com. You could read the first chapter for free, and I have a video that I did recently at the Google headquarters. You can watch a video, listen to a radio interview, and learn more about what I do. And again, with humility, I say that, you know, a lot of what I wrote are things that I learned as I was raising my four kids.
And you've got a lot of credentials besides that. You're a registered nurse. You're a temperament specialist. You consult and teach classes for mental health professionals and teachers and parents. You've got it all. You've got the experience and the expertise. And it shows in the book because it's a very easy book to read. And it's not a book that's hitting somebody over the head and saying, oh, you're an awful parent. It really encourages you. It supports you and encourages you and understands that parenting is not an easy job. But you've reached out, you want to improve it, you want to be a better parent, and that's why you've reached for this book, and I just applaud you. I think it's a wonderful book.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Linda, and, you know, it was what I was hoping to accomplish, you know, having a tone that we all need. We don't need criticism. We all need just a little more support and a few tips here and there.
I agree. Well, thank you for getting up early, for joining me
You're
this
welcome.
Morning, and have a great day.
Great. I might even go back to bed. Who knows?
Well, thank you again. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye later. Now. Okay, again, guys, if you haven't gotten the book, head out, and it's called Is That Me Yelling? It's a parent's guide to getting your kids to cooperate without losing your cool. It's written by Rona Renner, and again, she's got all kinds of credentials. She raised four kids of her own, but she's also a registered nurse, a temperament specialist. She consults and teaches classes for mental health professionals, teachers, and parents throughout the San Francisco Bay Area and beyond, and I can't tell you enough about this book. I just think it's a tool. If you're like me, I mean, we've all been there. I mean, if you're a parent, you can't help. There's been a time that you've yelled. But if you want to just curtail it, bring it back down. If that's not the way you want to respond, pick up this book because it really, really is a good tool. I can't say enough about it.